It's the same old story. It's been a long day at the job, or maybe it's just starting to feel long, and you feel that urge to stretch your legs and get a little bit of a break. You walk down the street, or maybe you get behind the wheel of your car, and you feel the weight begin to lift. You walk through the doors, and the sound of the place starts to clear the air. You get a table, you order your drink, you listen to the sounds of the bar, and soak in the conversation. Welcome to the T&E Speakeasy, with your hosts, Caleb and Isaac. Listen in as they discuss WrestleMania 40.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, those in between and affiliated, to the series that we refuse to start because I guess we're just, you know, coming back every now and then. You know, once we dip our toes in, I don't know if we can ever come out. That's why I'm just like, I'm always like, just dipping it in, like, you know, the big toe just in every now and then, like, no, because again, once we're in, and I'm cool with skimming the surface. I know you probably want to just dive right in, but
I do, but it's a lot.
That's what I'm worried about, because I would be all in as well, but there's so much here that I also like, so I always love, you know, touching up on stuff and following up with stuff. If you're looking at the recording, of course, the original recorded date, you know, obviously it's been a while since this. Actually, no, it's been 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was April 7th and 8th, maybe, or something like that.
Okay, fair enough. So, anyways, it's time. It's that time of year again. It's not Easter, although it's around Easter time, funny enough. Happy Earth Day. Okay. Caleb, go over with your notes and your memory all that had transpired for WrestleMania number 40.
Oh my gosh. Well, just as a prelude before I mention that, I will say that the buildup for this WrestleMania, of course, The Rock had come back. I at first thought that he was just coming back for a couple of sporadic appearances and then would eventually show up at WrestleMania. That's not super uncommon. They always like to bring in some sort of legacy star. But no, The Rock really committed this time. He was there every week. He would have extremely long segments that were just him or sometimes someone else there. He even did this little Rock music time where he, as a promo, brought on a band and he just sang his promo. And he was, I mean, he's been pretty lame the past couple of years. He would show up, and whenever he did, he would just be this kind of lame face who would play with the crowd and then leave, and then we wouldn't see him again for a long time. But now that he was back as a heel, oh my gosh, was he committing to being a heel. And right before WrestleMania, he was doing this program with Cody Rhodes' mom, and he'd always be addressing, Mama Rhodes, just wait, when it comes to WrestleMania, he'd have this prop belt. He's like, oh, I'm going to be putting your son's blood all over this belt, and then I'm going to present it to you, and then it's not just going to have his blood, but it's going to have your tears, Mama Rhodes.
Jeez.
And so he...
Wow.
We went backstage, where he beat the hell out of Cody and busted his head open and rubbed his hand all in the blood and then rubbed it on the belt. And he's like, just wait, Mama Rhodes, the blood's here. And so it was brutal, and yeah, I was very much anticipating what was going to happen with that. And since it was Cody's rematch with Roman, he won the Money in the Bank this year. They were going to have a big tag team match. It was going to be Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. And if the Bloodline won, then for the big match, the title match, it was going to be Bloodline rules, so they could do whatever they wanted, and Cody would just have to deal with it. So that was the main event of night one. We started off with Triple H coming out and announcing that we're in a new era of WWE, which I think most WWE fans could see that was coming. We could already see a lot of changes happening. There's some very new and inventive camera stuff going on, which we haven't seen a long time in WWE. They've been extremely loose with the language and the violence much more than usual. And so the fact that they're announcing that now we're in a new era proper, I'm curious to see how much of this stuff is going to stay or expand. But that was pretty exciting. And this is another one in an outdoor stadium. I always like the outdoor stadium, but they did mention many times that it was pretty damn cold. And so you look in the audience and everyone's in hoodies, everyone's kind of freezing. So that's not necessarily great. But the first match was Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. And Becky Lynch, they announced right at the front that she'd had a fever earlier that day and that she's not feeling too well. So I can't imagine that would be a very good situation to be in. You got this huge match opening WrestleMania, but you're sick. Like, damn. I don't know what I'd do in that situation. But they still put on a good match. Rhea retained. But during this match, they introduced something else new, which was when they had the two of them in the ring and they're announcing, like, here's Rhea Ripley, you know, the women's heavyweight champion, and here's the challenger. They brought in a new camera style with someone in the ring with them with this Ultra HD camera. And it was almost like it would filter out everything in the background. And we would just see them in super pristine HD. I've never seen them do that before. So that was kind of interesting.
They have been, I think, if it's the same camera I'm thinking of, they've been experimenting with that, at least on Sportsnet with the Blue Jays, where every time a Blue Jay, and maybe other baseball teams as well, and other stations, not just Blue Jays, but at least what I noticed, that they've been doing this in like the past few years, I've noticed that every time a Blue Jay would hit a home run, and they were about to go from third to home plate, they would have this camera follow along with them, and it would just focus on the player, and the background would just be like kind of out of focus.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, maybe that's something they're doing more in the sports. And it could have been on a drone, actually, because they did have a drone circling the ring. I saw it every now and again. But yeah, it was a decent first match. Rhea Ripley is one of the hottest stars in the company. She is just outrageously good. She's like a combination of a heel and a face at once, and she rides that line just brilliantly. There was a weird thing where the arena that they had, it seemed like the sound was just kind of fucked up. They had a number of musical guests that showed up, and every time I felt so bad for them because it was like the music wasn't fully in line with their voices, like an echo or something, and so they would be singing. And while they're singing, it's like the chords are that played previously are now just arriving at the other side, and it's like drowning itself out. It was something weird like that. And so, yeah, just that was unfortunate for them. But so, yeah, good first match. Then we got a 6-man ladder match to split up the tag team belts. This one was kind of a big mess. I never like these kind of matches when there's so many people just all doing different things. But I was definitely glad that they split up the Undisputed Tag Team belts. I never thought that was a good idea in the first place. And the Tag Team division, I feel like, has kind of just been... It kind of died after they did that. So I'm glad that they're going to give it a chance to come back. But it was a pretty poor match. Awesome Truth won. Do you know what that is? Awesome Truth.
Awesome Truth. Is that R-Truth plus Miz?
That's exactly right. Yeah, they were a tag team match back in, I think, the 2010s? Early 2010s?
Oh, what the? Hey, okay, well, at the time, I think, wasn't it Kofi Kingston and R-Truth?
Yeah, they tagged for a little bit, too. That's the stuff I saw. But I knew about Awesome Truth, I just never really seen it. And they've been fun. R-Truth has been just on fire lately. He's been completely absurd and great. And so, yeah, I was glad to see that they got the belts, even though it was kind of a weak match. And then Austin Theory and Grayson Waller also won. We saw Austin Theory live. So, you know, I appreciate him. Grayson Waller, he's okay, but I don't know. He's okay. So that was a pretty weak match. Then we got Rey Mysterio and Andrade recently returned after his stint in AEW, which was a very weak stint. I never knew what the hell they were doing with Andrade El Idolo. And yeah, now that he's back, I feel like WWE is potentially going to use him better, but I don't know. But he was, the two of them were tagging against Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. And I don't know if you know, but WWE's been doing this thing called the Latin World Order. And it was always kind of like, oh, why isn't Dominic Mysterio involved in this? I mean, he's obviously Latino. He should maybe be somewhere in the mix here. And so the fact that they brought him in for this match, I was kind of glad to see him being involved in that big kind of Latin power movement in WWE. But honestly, it wasn't that great of a match. It was kind of a messy tag match. And they had these girls on the side. They kept getting involved in the background. And it was kind of like I'd rather just more of a straight match, not something that's so kind of busy. So I didn't necessarily love that. And Rey Mysterio and his team won. And then we got another, in fact, the weakest match of the whole two nights. It was a string of a couple just weak matches all piled up together for this night one. Some really good ones, but a couple weak ones. But this one was Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso. And this one, they didn't even really build up well. It almost felt like a last-minute decision to pair the two of them up. But of course, they broke up last year, and they've been keeping them separate almost the whole time. And both of them I like, and I like them as a tag team, but as opponents, they wrestle almost the exact same style. And in fact, no, they wrestle the exact same style, I should say. And a lot of this match was built around the fact that they are like two clones fighting each other, where a lot of it was just them trading the exact same move one after another. Like someone would do a move and then, oh no, they got the same mind length. Now the other guys can do the exact same move. And that was kind of the whole match. And it was just super kick galore. There was probably about 40 super kicks all told in that one match. And so it was becoming really painful. It picked up at the end with Jimmy falling to the ground and pleading like, oh, you know, we're brothers. Like, we should stop this fighting. We should try to be back together. And I was yelling at the screen, oh, Jey, don't be so stupid. You know, he's the heel out of you two. He's just going to betray you. But Jey's like, oh, yeah, we're brothers, man. Okay, I'll pick you up. We'll try to maybe work this out. And then immediately, yeah, Jimmy betrays him, and what do you know? He steals the match with, you guessed it, another super kick. So, I mean, it was just really groan-inducing, all the super kicks. Like, I usually don't mind when they do that, but yeah, this was just way overkill.
Chaotic.
It was just embarrassing because they would just stand there. You know, sometimes in wrestling when they do, like, the chop fights?
Yep.
Yeah, it was just super kick fight like that. It was just like, oh no.
Man, I'm surprised that they were still broken apart the whole year, eh?
Yeah, and Jimmy's been doing okay. He's had this bloodline stuff. They haven't given him too much to do since The Rock showed up, but he's been doing okay. But Jey, they were just kind of throwing him in as just a regular face guy. He hangs out with all the rest of the faces, but doesn't really have much heat on his own. Like, it doesn't really feel like they've given him much to do, and so it just kind of feels like they've, ever since they turned him face, he's just been kind of flailing a little bit. But the crowd still seems to love him. Every time he does his entrance, everyone gets up on their feet. They're all doing this wave that he does, and everyone seems happy. But I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know, I feel like they should probably pair him back up with the bloodline. I don't know. Then we get another 6-person tag team related match where we have the EST, Bianca Belair, who I always love. Naomi recently returned to WWE. I was very happy to see her come back, and I'm happy to see her in this match in WrestleMania. And then for her first time at WWE, Jade Cargill, this big coup that WWE got her from AEW. AEW for years had been building her up as kind of, they were expecting her to be their top female star. And they were protecting her for a long time because she's clearly not a very skilled wrestler, and so they would give her lots of squash matches. But at a certain point, it was like, okay, we're seeing nothing but squash matches, and it's been like 2 years. When are you ever going to do anything with her? And I think she realized the same thing, so she quickly got out of her contract and went to WWE. And she basically had the same thing. The whole match was built around Bianca Belair and Naomi taking on Damage Control's Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. And yeah, Jade Cargill came in for the last like 3 minutes of the match and won it. But it was like, oh, I guess she still hasn't really picked up those wrestling skills yet. So she looks great. She's got a great presence. But I don't know what the hell they're going to do with her if she still can't perform for extended periods of time. But so that was another match. That one was more fun just because Asuka and Kairi Sane, the Kabuki Warriors, those two are just so great. I always enjoy watching them. They were actually, when the other group were doing their entrances and Bianca Belair and that group were walking down to the ring, they just kept cutting back to Asuka and Kairi Sane. They're just dancing around. They're having the time of their life dancing to the Faces themes. You usually don't see that with heels. They usually be all scowly, but not them. They're just, everything's a party for them. So that was a lot of fun.
Radical dude.
Then we get, oh man, this was, yeah, the match of the night. One of the best matches of this WrestleMania. We get Sami Zayn as the contender for Gunther's Intercontinental title. He's been the Intercontinental champion for, I think it's been about a year now. And he has been just on fire. Gunther, I should say, is another person who's like, this is a top star in WWE. He is going to go on to great things, clearly. And his Intercontinental title was, it became so prestigious under him. It felt like it was just constantly being traded back and forth by very mid-tier people. But now that he had it, I feel like, they're going to have to do something really big. And I guess I've already kind of spoiled, but Sami Zayn did beat him for the title this time. And it was a very heartfelt match. It was a long match. They're both putting in a lot of work. And Gunther, oh man, was he... It was like he didn't believe that Sami was even worthy of being a contender, and so he just treated the whole match like it was just him having fun beating up someone so much weaker than him. And anytime Sami would get like a rally going, immediately Gunther would just like kick him in the face or slap him, and he would just stop dead in his tracks, and he would just ragdoll him for the next like 10 minutes. And Sami's wife was there at ringside, and he kept going over to her being like, this is your man, like this pathetic loser. Here, let me show you what I think of him. And he'd beat the hell out of him and he'd come back and be like, oh, look at your hero, look at your husband. And so she looked like she was going to cry at times. So it was very emotional when Sami got the better of him at the end and won that match.
So you were sold. Like, you believed that Sami could beat Gunther.
I didn't. That was the other thing that was surprising, is I really did not see it coming. Sami was another one that felt like he was kind of floundering, like they couldn't really find a direction for him. And so I thought that they were just giving him this match. It's just, hey, you've put in a lot of work for us. Here's a match in WrestleMania. Make Gunther look good, and, here's a match for you. And so when he won it, I was, it stunned me. And I'm curious what they're going to do with that, because I don't know. I don't know if that was the right move, but I guess we'll see.
A lot of these matches, and maybe not matches, but a lot of these bookings or storylines, some of them could just be chalked up to, okay, let's do a filler arc. Just to, wait until we get to the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, we'll see. There is a chance, and there is an opportunity for Gunther to immediately go up to the World Heavyweight title contention, so I'm going to be curious to see if they do that. But then we get to the main event of night one. Yeah, Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. And it was, I don't know if you have heard anything about how we got to this situation.
Nope. Wait, hang on. Who's the Universal Champion?
That's Roman Reigns.
Okay, what? Jeez. Oh, as of that point, okay.
Yeah, and as of, I think it was the past 3-4 years now. I think it was 2019 when he won that belt.
Yep.
He's held it all this time.
Yep.
And so initially what happened was Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble, and it was like, okay, he's obviously going to challenge Roman for the belt. But then The Rock, you know, he decided he was going to come back and do a run. This is one of those situations where they made real life part of the story. And The Rock calls up Cody and is like, hey, Cody, you know, I want to take on Roman at WrestleMania this year. So, you know, you come on to Raw and you announce that you're passing the torch to me and you'll go after Roman another time and finish your story. And so Cody did do that. He came out on Raw and he's like, oh, you know, obviously I want to finish my story. I want to hold that belt that my dad never got to hold, or he did and it got stolen from him in a way. But I'm not doing it this time. This time it's for The Rock. This is what's best for business. And he shook The Rock's hand, and then everyone online went crazy. They're like, fuck The Rock. He's just coming in. He's midlife crisis. He wants to get back in wrestling. His career's flagging. And so The Rock did a kind of promotional tour going on to different podcasts, and he was going on about, oh, everybody loves The Rock. The Rock's people's champion. The only people who don't are the Cody crybabies. Oh, they're out there crying in their mama's basements. And he was like subtly turning heel. And then they did this big kind of WrestleMania pre-show event back in around, I think it was early March. And Cody came out because they were talking. The Bloodline put out this giant display. It's like, the Bloodline, our family, is the wrestling family. We're the wrestling royalty. Every other family, you know, they're kind of lame compared to us. And so Cody comes out. He's pissed. He's like, hey, you know, you can't say that. Guess what? Now I'm taking on Roman at WrestleMania, not you, Rock. The Rock slapped him. And then The Rock came out afterwards and it's like, oh, you know, these Cody crybabies suck, and look who your hero is. This guy who can't keep his word, this pathetic guy. And so he went on a hate rage on Cody. And so yeah, then Seth Rollins got into the mix, because the storyline for them, and again, this may also be just them bleeding in reality, is that Seth Rollins is obsessed with the spotlight. And Roman dissed his belt, said that the World Heavyweight Championship was a secondary belt. The Universal Champ's the only real champ in WWE. And so he gets in the mix. He's getting pissed at Roman. Well, at the same time, for night two, he has a championship match for his belt. And so he's getting involved in this tag team match. And Drew McIntyre is like, Seth, what are you doing, man? Like, I want you to be 100% for my match. This is your title championship. Why are you wasting your time getting involved in this tag team match? So there's a lot of stuff going on there, but yeah, the two of them, they were getting ragdolled in this match too. I mean, they had their moments, they had their rallies, but Roman was just plowing through them. And when The Rock got in the ring, he was plowing through them. And I was kind of expecting The Rock to come in with ring rust, because we've seen a lot of that lately. I mean, John Cena's been recently having some ring rust. I can't remember if it was Goldberg who popped up in... No, I don't think it was 2022 that Goldberg popped up, but whenever he popped up last, pretty bad ring rust. And so I was nervous about The Rock's actual ring performance. But no, he seemed like he was doing good. He looked like he was in great shape. He didn't look like he was getting tired or gassed out. He was going. And yeah, he even brought out his belt to like whip Cody. And he went out to... Because Mama Rhodes was in the audience. And he's like, is this your son? This is what you think about your son? Look at him. And he's beating on him. And so that was getting intense too. And so yeah, they lost night one. And then it was like, oh no, look at you now. Bloodline rules for night two. How are you going to overcome the giant? The Bloodline rules WWE. And you, Cody Rhodes, you're in your Rhodes family. You'll never finish your story. So yeah, then... any comments before I jump into night two?
Wow. quite the setup.
Yeah. Oh, it's... Oh, man. I've been going crazy. Yeah.
I will definitely give it to The Rock. He's definitely taken a chance. Like, this is... One, I think he's had a successful movie franchise. I say franchise, but he's had a successful movie career. Despite... You know, debating on whether his acting is great or not. When it comes to him financially, I mean, his movies have made money. So, like, any movie he's in, he's making money. So, why not? So, this is definitely a big risk for putting himself out there and opening himself up to hate. I really got to give him that. I mean, that's what any wrestler does, where when you're a heel, you get so much hate and people truly believe you and will probably send death threats because they don't realize it's all just a farce.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Which is, yeah. So I got to give him that, where this was a, he dedicated himself to the craft. So you got to like, you got to tip the hat. You got to give him his fair dues. He decided to go all in, and that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, and he's definitely all in. There was times when the audience would be like, boo, Rocky sucks. And he would, like, snap at them. Like, one time he was like, shut up, fatty, before I slap the herpes off your mouth. And that was like, whoa, that is a lot for the PG era WWE.
Wow. Well, PG era, what's that?
Yeah, and he'd make a lot of references to calling everyone trailer park trash. And
nice.
Yeah, a lot of pushing the boundaries of swearing on screen. He, even at one point... Oh, yeah, that's another thing I should point out, is they kept pointing out the fact that he was now on the board of WWE, or 2KO? I can't remember what the name of the thing is. Well, that owns UFC and WWE now.
Oh, yeah, whatever it's called.
TKO, I think. But early in the match, he was throwing around his weight, saying to his the ref, like, hey, don't forget, you fuck around, you're going to be in trouble. I'm the boss here. Don't do anything I don't want to see. And he was openly, like, yeah, throwing around the word fuck all over the place in that match. And I guess since he was a PLE, he could get away with it since it wasn't on network TV. But that was definitely surprising to see in WWE. And so, yeah, night two, we open up. Stephanie McMahon shows up. And I don't know if you've paid any attention to the world of the McMahon family, a disaster that's been happening over the past year or more with Vince McMahon's allegations and being completely ousted from WWE.
What allegations this time?
Piles and piles. Enough that WWE has moved on from him and will never return. He'll probably never be mentioned on TV again. Probably never go into the Hall of Fame. And yeah, his...
Basically Chris Benoit.
Yeah. And so the fact that Stephanie McMahon showed up, like, there was a lot of talk of the McMahons in general were banned. And so the fact that she showed up was kind of a big surprise. But she was also coming out like, hey, you know, WWE it's at one of its most successful periods in its history. This WrestleMania is the biggest WrestleMania we've ever had. And I'm so happy to be here to announce that we're in a brand new era, the Triple H era. And so, again, they're hammering that. And then we open up with another one of the best matches on this card. The one that I was the most excited for, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, with CM Punk as a special guest commentator. Drew McIntyre, he went away for a while and came back as a heel. But the kind of heel that you love to watch, because he's one of those delusional ones where he thinks that he is the savior of WWE. He thinks Seth Rollins is a glory hog. He thinks he's a champion who doesn't pay enough attention to his own reign and only cares about what the Bloodline are doing and what Cody Rhodes are doing. And he hates CM Punk. He injured CM Punk at the Royal Rumble, his first match when he came back. And he came out with a shirt on that said, I buried... it was him in front of a gravestone that said, CM Punk's WrestleMania dream.
Nice.
And he came out with a promo where he's like, you know, the night after Royal Rumble, I was so sad that, you know, CM Punk threw me out, and I prayed to God that God would have you injured. I begged God to injure CM Punk, and it worked. And so he views himself as a savior. And so with CM Punk there as the commentator, he was definitely throwing some looks at him, throwing some shade at him throughout the match. And Seth Rollins was, of course, playing as if he was injured in the previous match with Roman Reigns and The Rock. And so he was only working at half strength. And Seth Rollins was fairly easily beaten by Drew McIntyre. And when he walked out and kind of looked at his belt and looked at what happened to his reign, it looked like he was going to break down in tears a bit there. So that was a sad moment. Oh, but I will say, you know, at WrestleMania, everyone comes out with their big entrances. Seth Rollins came out with this giant crowd of people that were dressed like clowns. And his whole gimmick has become like a weird variation of the Joker. But this was the absolute peak of it. And I hope that he goes away for a while and changes his gimmick. Because I feel like it's gone to the utmost extreme at this point. It's like, I don't think you can do anything more with this gimmick. And it's time to find something new. But either way, so Drew McIntyre, he's got the belt now. He's thrown it in CM Punk's face, even doing the thing where you like put your crotch in their face and kind of thrust forward. He did that to Punk. And when he turned around to kind of wave at the audience, like, oh, look at your new champion. CM Punk leg sweeped him. And then he had this cast on from his injury. He took off that cast and he bashed Drew McIntyre in the face with it until he was laid out. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, shows up Damian Priest. He used the Money in the Bank winner, senior Money in the Bank. Kind of the leader of the Judgment Day, but not really. So he shows up, and all of a sudden, he's grabbing the ref. He's like, I'm cashing in my Money in the Bank. Drew McIntyre is laid out. He drags him, throws him into the ring, gives him his finisher, 1-2-3. Suddenly, we have a new champion, Damian Priest. And Drew McIntyre, he comes to, he's looking around, and suddenly he realizes his dreams have just been stolen from him. And he looks over at CM Punk, and Punk is just giving him a smile, and he's cheering to Priest's song. And, oh man, did that escalate what was already a great story. It just went to the nines, and I can't wait to see what they do with that, especially once CM Punk is finally healed up. But, oh man, was that a great start tonight, too.
Plot thickens like pea soup.
Yeah. And I've been loving the Judgment Day. So to see Damian Priest get that chance and he runs up the ramp and all the rest of his crew are there to hug him and celebrate with him. That was another... It was really cool. Then we get another match that just... These kind of matches don't interest me at all. It was Bobby Lashley and his stable with the Street Profits. They call themselves the Pride. Versus this other stable called the Final Testament, led by Karrion Kross and a couple of jobbers. No offense to them. don't care for that Final Testament group at all. I think that they're really lame. And the match itself was lame. It was a street fight, so they're bringing in tables and chairs and weapons, and the ring's just cluttered up with all that stuff, and they're just running around doing all these different moves. And it just felt like chaos, and not the fun kind of chaos. Oh, but Snoop Dogg was down as the special guest commentator here. And he was pumping his new drink, gin and juice. I guess he's doing it with Dr. Dre. And the commentators, Pat McAfee, Michael Cole, they had been drinking some gin and juice with Snoop before the recording. And so they were making a lot of innuendos to their time in his trailer, and that was much more entertaining than the match itself. I was just having a lot of fun listening to those three guys making cracking jokes and almost barely paying attention to the match. So that was nice. Oh, and by the way, Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, and Corey Graves, fantastic on commentary this WrestleMania. The three of them all work so great together. Michael Cole was the face commentator with the two heels, and both of them, when The Rock and Roman Reigns are on screen, it was just like they were worshiping their god. And anytime Michael Cole would be like, look at these guys abusing their power, suddenly they would come in like, that's your boss, Cole. Like, don't say anything bad about him. That's your boss. So that was very funny. But then we get another great singles match of the night. This is the phenomenal AJ Styles versus LA Knight. And this was just a great grudge match. The two of them, I think, are excellent workers, especially AJ Styles. And LA Knight is so over with the audience. Every move he did, the audience would go just ballistic. They just love that guy. And so it was, yeah, just a really solid singles match. With, I believe it was LA Knight who won, who needed it more between the two of them. So it was a good outcome. And the second best match for Knight 2 was... Shockingly for me, because I'm usually mixed on triple threat matches. But this one was between Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. Three people who, it turns out, have just amazing chemistry together. And Logan Paul is the United States champion, and so those two were trying to take his belt. And they start off the match working together. And Logan Paul, he starts it off just cocky. He steps back like, okay, you two go at it, and whatever one defeats the other, then they can take me. And then they look at each other and look at him, and he just makes this face like, oh shit, I just realized that I'm in a very bad situation.
Nice.
And so they go to work on him. They're taking him out. And they beat him up really effectively, and then they both at the same time go for the pin, and then look at each other like, oh, wait a minute, like, I guess we got to do something about this. Like, we both can't win. And so they get up, and Kevin Owens is like, okay, do you want to start now, or do you want to keep working on him? And Randy's like, okay, let's go back to working on him. And once KO turns around, the Viper, he goes for that RKO, but KO turns around just in time to notice, and is like, wait, like, what are you doing, man? And Randy's like, oh, sorry, brother, like, let's go back to work on Logan. And then it's just like, no, we're going to do this right now. And so there was a lot of good storytelling in ring that they pulled out throughout the whole match. They kept twisting their alliances. And whenever Logan Paul would get a moment to, like, he would see that they're distracted, like arguing about what they're going to do, that's when he would jump in with a huge move that would make everyone pop, including me. Because he's just his athletic ability is just incredible. And he makes things look so good. And yeah, it was ultimately one of the best matches on the card, and Logan Paul retained, which I think he should have, but everybody looked great coming out of that match. And then we get another match that I was really looking forward to, Damage Control. When we went to go to that live show, I mentioned, like, you know, I always like Bayley, but this stuff with Damage Control, you know, it's maybe not some of her best work. I haven't been loving it. And finally, just a few weeks before WrestleMania, it exploded. And it turned out that all the Japanese girls were making fun of her behind her back. And they were speaking Japanese, thinking that she couldn't understand them. But then it turns out, oh, a twist. Bayley knows Japanese. And she's like, I've heard all the things that you've said about me. And so she had a very quick face turn, and everyone was on her side. And so coming into this match, everyone was hating on Io Sky, the women's champion for SmackDown all this time. And they were all very much excited for Bayley's match. I was actually surprised how much the audience was going just crazy for Bayley. And again, I've always liked her. I didn't think this run was necessarily her best work, but it was nice to see everyone behind her. And they put on a really solid match. Io Sky is just great in the ring. She is super small in height and in size. But somehow, even though she doesn't look like she could really do that much damage, she just makes her moves seem so devastating. Just the way that Bayley sold them, and the way that she carried them off. So it ended up working out really well. And she's pulled off that trick somehow that her whole WWE run, where it's like, even though she looks like she weighs like 95 pounds, somehow she still looks like a credible threat. So I think that's pretty impressive. Bayley won the belt, which I think was probably the right move. You had been the champ since for quite a while. Then we get to the absolutely insane final match, the main event, the Bloodline Rules title match between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And this one, they did a good job treating it as if we're actually going to get a real singles match through most of the thing. I think it was about an hour long. And maybe for the first 40 minutes, it was just an endurance test between these two pillars of WWE. And they were really putting it on. Roman Reigns was playing just a fantastic heel. He was treating it like it was just a joke, just like Gunther was. With Paul Heyman at the side, he kept commenting like, this guy is so easy. Why does he even think he can be here? Why does he think he could be in this ring with me? But at the same time, I love kicking his ass. This guy's so pathetic. I love beating him up. And the audience would cheer for Cody, and he'd be like, ah, come on, like, you guys, like, this is your champion, this pathetic worm. And he was just had such a great swagger to him. But then Cody, near the 40-minute mark, started to get a little bit of some heat on Roman. And that's when the Bloodline rules kicked in. Jimmy Uso comes in dressed in a hoodie. Everyone seems to wear hoodies these days for the surprise attacks. It's getting pretty lame, I think. He gives him some knocks. Suddenly Solo Sikoa shows up, goes for the Samoan spike. But him and John Cena, I think it was SummerSlam maybe, John Cena and Solo had their match. And so Cena arrives and you see Solo Sikoa's face like, oh shit, like my previous rival, he's here. Oh no. Cena comes running in and he clears out the heels. But then, oh no, here comes The Rock. Like, hey, it's this is my town. And you can just see the look of like, oh shit, on Cena's face. Like, there, I think the last time The Rock was here was the two of them had their WrestleMania match. So that was kind of a big moment. But it turns out that he's not going to be the one to take out The Rock, because suddenly the Dead Man's music starts and the place goes dark. And you can hear the audience, even though the screen's black, they are losing their minds. Like, oh no, I can't believe it. Is The Undertaker actually going to show up? And he did. And The Rock didn't notice at first. He was facing Cody. But everyone's like, oh, look out, look behind you. And he slowly turns. And once he sees the Dead Man's face, he goes just... like, aw, just hit him. He's had an absolute shock. And The Undertaker picks him up, gives him the choke slam, slams him down. And then the bells toll again and the arena goes dark. And both men are gone when the lights return. And I was sitting there like, okay, things are getting silly. But how could I not just feel the absolute joy that the arena is at the same time? Like, it's like, this is not the best way for Roman's title reign to end, if that's what they're going to do. Because maybe it should have just been a straight singles match rather than all this silliness. But at the same time, it's such a crowd pleaser. And it's been such a long time since The Undertaker had an appearance at WrestleMania that I'm giving him the graces at this point for just wanting to please the fans. And so anyway, now that all the heels are cleared out of the ring, now Cody has the chance for the final bout, one-on-one, him and Roman. But now Roman's shaken. Now he's like, oh no, the Bloodline rules didn't work. I was sure that this Cody guy was going to be done, but suddenly he seems like he has the resilience that I don't. And so you can tell his confidence is lost, and Cody's confidence is getting huge. The audience is behind him. His mom's there at ringside, giving him the cheers. And so Cody manages to give him his finisher. And 1, 2, 3, we have a new title holder. Cody Rhodes, the Universal Champion. And it was an emotional moment for sure. Everyone was going crazy. Suddenly, just about every face in the company that's a man shows up in the ring. That's an old school move. You don't usually see that these days. But just everyone, the whole locker room that was faced was there to cheer him on. And Michael Cole, he was giving just a treatise as to just the beauty of pro wrestling. Oh, and Samantha Irving, who does all the announcing for Raw these days, when she was announcing that Cody Rhodes was the new champ, you could hear that she was crying as she was saying it. And even the commentator team, they pointed out like, oh, you know, everyone can't help but be emotional. Even Samantha Irving can't help it. And you could hear the weeping in their voices as they were talking. And Michael Cole gave his whole history of meeting Cody as a kid, knowing his father, and seeing him go through the development stuff in WWE, then come back to WWE. And he's like, I can't believe that today I get to see him, you know, win that belt. And he just screamed, I love pro wrestling. And it was really something.
Wow. Chills. And I still remember when he, like 10 years ago, had that incident with his face, so he had to wear that face mask.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Back when he was a heel.
Yeah, which I wish I would have seen more of that era. He seems like he was a fun heel. But yeah, and then he went around, he was shaking hands with his fellow commentators. He was like, Corey, you know, I'm so honored to have done so many WrestleManias with you all these years. You know, it's been great working with you, Pat. It's been great having you here with me. Such an honor. And they were all just saying how much they just love pro wrestling. That was kind of their statements as everyone was going around. Cody was hugging everyone in the ring. He went out, he hugged his mom and his stepdad and, or not stepdad, what's the word? When it's your spouse's dad.
Oh, his in-law.
In-law, thank you.
Yes, his in-law, his father-in-law.
Now, admittedly, they went a long time. It was maybe 15 minutes of everyone just hugging and celebrating. He went over and he hugged Michael Cole, and that was another extremely emotional moment for me. I was definitely having a lot of tears during this end bit, as I think everybody was. And then Cody came up, he grabbed the mic, and he's like, hey, they told me not to do this, but if you can, I want to get Bruce Pritchard and Triple H down here. Like, I know you guys don't want to come down, but please come down here. I want you here. And so they came down. You could tell that even they had been shedding some tears in the back. And they gave Cody a hug and did a little couple speeches about the new era and just about how proud they were of Cody for all the work he's done since he's come back to WWE and how much faith they had in him as the new face of the company. And yeah, it was really something.
To end the era, I suppose, I wonder if a lot of these matches, they weren't, obviously, because they're obviously continue, but with the Universal Champion, we are indeed, yes, entering into a new era. So, nothing on Reigns, but I guess his reign had to end for the new era to begin.
Yeah, which is sad, because really, I mean, people complain about the predictability of the matches with, it was always obvious that he was going to win, and it was always obvious that who's going to win by the bloodline coming in and breaking the rules. But just the charisma of Roman Reigns, after a match, he'd come out and do those promos, and he'd just be like, what, you thought I was going to lose? Like, the bloodline, we run this place. And he was just so amazing that every time I'd be like, okay, you know, I was pissed the night before, now I'm happy again just because I love this fucking guy. So to see him go, and I think he is stepping away from WWE for a while. I think he's said that. So that makes me sad to see. But I will say the Raw following WrestleMania, Cody did come out and he was like, hey, you know, love him or hate him, Roman Reigns, he did a lot for this belt for the years, and, you know, we can't take that away from him. And the whole arena was chanting, thank you, Roman. So,
darn straight. No, that's good that he did the right thing. And he paid respects, tipped the hat to the one who really also helped, I guess, the company in their darkest of times. Darkest of times, but yeah, just definitely helped them tread upwards again. Even if it was, you know, there for a while, it is nice that Cody did do the gentlemanly thing and the sportsman, like, showed sportsmanship over the easy, obvious gesture. And yeah, that's really nice, and I'm happy for him. I hope Reigns will return at some point, you know, in a limited capacity, of course, but yeah, hopefully he went out in the way he wanted to.
Yeah, I'm going to be very curious to see what happens with Roman Reigns, because yeah, I don't know if he's going to go into acting or just step away and maybe in a year or two come back. I don't know. I think he's got the charisma to get into acting if he puts his mind to it, but...
Well, more like the acting of Batista and of... Oh, who else was this? And of Cena as well, and of Cena.
Oh, by the way, it was funny, Cena. He looked so out of place when Cody was going around the ring hugging everybody. Because, I don't know, it was just like he looked like he didn't really know how to react with everybody there. Like, it was like it was overwhelming for him or something. I don't know. I kept looking at him in the corner and being like, oh, he's the only one that doesn't look like he's enjoying this nearly as much as everyone else is.
I see, okay. So. I mean, he was recently here shooting Peacemaker Season 2.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that. Yeah. But yeah, that's WrestleMania 40. A really excellent WrestleMania. Like I said, there were a number of matches on there that just were not really my taste. I never like matches when there's a whole bunch of people in the ring where I can't really keep track or follow a story, where it just feels like everyone's just doing something.
Chaos.
Yeah, chaos. That's what it feels like. It just feels like a spot fest. It's chaos, and then suddenly they throw everyone out of the ring, and everyone's just sitting on the ground as someone does a big move, and then more people just slowly seep in until we get back to the chaos point, until we get to another big spot. And I prefer, in fact, I love the singles match storytelling in ring. That's really one of the things that attracts me to the the physical side of wrestling. So when you can't really have much room for storytelling in ring, I'm not that interested.
Chaos control.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I don't really love the Royal Rumble as much as a lot of people do. I think there could be some really great stories, but there's always that period when suddenly there's way more people in the ring than is helpful. And there's lots of people just sitting at the edges on the ground, looking at the action, waiting for their chance to get up and do something. It's kind of like, it's just too busy. But WrestleMania 40, any comments on all I said there? I don't know.
Jeez, where to even begin?
Would you watch it again?
I absolutely would. Yeah.
Instant classic.
I 100% would. And last WrestleMania had some really good stuff too, but this feels like a giant step up.
How do they continue with this good writing? What exactly do they need to do to continue on this forward trend? Like this path upward? What prevents, like, how do they continue to be successful? That's a loaded question.
Yeah, a loaded question that I don't know. I do wonder for Cody, because ever since he did come back, his whole thing, the entire purpose of his character was finishing the story that his dad never could. Now that he's finished it, what do you do with him? What's the new story? And they don't really, I mean, in terms of a competitor that I think that they could immediately throw into the title arena, Gunther, I think, is just such an excellent heel. He's built up such a prestige. He feels like a main eventer immediately. And the fact that now that he's not in the Intercontinental situation, he'd be a great contender. But I don't know if that's where they're going. I don't know where they're going, but I feel like in terms of Cody, they are going to have to start thinking really quick about how do we keep the story for him going, because without that story, I mean, he is a great face. He is, the audience loves him. He's great with kids. You can always see, because he gives out this, like a weight belt. He always wears it to the ring, and then right before he gets in, he gives it to a kid in the audience. And you can see that means a hell of a lot to those kids. Some of them break down in tears when they're getting it. It's like, but yeah, if they can't find a new direction for him, I could see it getting stale in by the time next WrestleMania rolls around.
Good, just because, you know, if Reigns had it for almost 4 years, that's impressive. And this shtick just stuck. It worked. Maybe there were times where it was like, all right, this is getting old. And then just somehow the charisma he had shot him right back up. You'd hope that he wouldn't fall into the same trappings Cena had, because I remember for brief, people just did not like the man. They did despise the persona, sorry, not the man himself, but they despised the persona. Well, some people probably hated him as well, but they despised the ring persona of, you know, Cena is Superman. He is, you know, the Boy Scouts. He's, he represents, you know, the face and everything that entails. And that's why, you know, in that, 10 years ago when he was fighting with CM Punk, people just loved Punk because he literally was what he was, a punk.
Yeah. And they saw John Cena as like, your time's past. Now you're just a spotlight stealer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I disagreed with people like that. I just didn't take it as passionate as they would. I wouldn't deny the fact that if they are just treading mud or whatever it's called, it's true. But I don't know if I get that, like, because I kind of like Cena. What can I
Me
say?
Too.
I don't know. He's so likable. And so I hope, the same thing. If Cody is now also the next Cena, or fulfilling that same role, especially with the kids, I do wonder, how long he can retain everybody's, what's the word? Not trust. Maintain their
favor.
Thank you. Exactly. How long he can maintain everybody's favor, especially the smarks, as we're called. How are you going to like convince us and keep us convinced that you're the real deal? Because if Reigns just had that charisma, and not saying Cody doesn't, again, it's, I've, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, and I remember in AEW when the fans were like, okay, Cody, you know, your face run at this point, it's gotten boring as hell. You've become obnoxious. Turn heel. God, please turn heel.
I remember you saying that.
And he would come out in the promos and say, I'm not turning heel. Which is crazy. You don't say that on the screen. Or you'd be like, the fans want me to turn heel, but I'll never turn. That's just crazy. I hated that. I turned on Cody so fast with that. He claims that he was a heel that was, people didn't even realize was a heel is what he claims now. I don't know. Maybe that's what he's doing. I don't. Maybe I have to go back, and I probably won't.
I'm the meta heel.
It was definitely meta. But I did want to say, I'd forgotten to mention that the entrances for The Rock, who's been, it's been actually a running joke, every time The Rock appeared leading up to WrestleMania, he would adjust his opening theme just a smidge with the imagery, with the style of music, and he would blend his kind of, do you smell what The Rock is cooking, just regular face theme with his Hollywood The Rock theme. He would blend the two together. And when it got to WrestleMania, it was at such a peak level. It was just amazing the way that they utilized that. And right before WrestleMania 2, he got given this belt from Muhammad Ali's wife, gave him this belt that said the People's Champion. And so he started walking around with that belt. And so it was a cool looking belt, but it felt just extra heelish, like just this absurd guy with this homemade belt that has nothing to do with anything. He's walking around and he's like, I'm the People's Champ. But I was also going to say, with Roman's entrance for night two, his match, he had this, what are they called? A choir doing his theme. And I don't know if I'm sure you remember his theme when we went to the live show. It's got a great epic ethereal kind of quality to it. So it's got this somber quality to it. And so hearing it done just live with all these voices and an actual band there doing it, it was sending some chills up my spine. And I was kind of like, if this is his final match as the Universal Champ, what an entrance to go out on. It's just too bad that they went really silly with the match at times. But again, it was, I gave it a pass, but I do feel like maybe in a few years I'll be regretting the fact that they had The Undertaker and Cena jumping in there the way that they did. But
I guess it was as a paying respects to the legends beforehand.
That's fair. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. But it feels like a slight disservice to Cody that he couldn't have had just a straight match. It had to get,
of course,
so busy.
Gimmicks and novelties had to occur,
yeah,
in order for him to win. But I mean, I think they may have had to do that given that it was, once again, Chaos Control, because they had the stipulation of it being the blood family, not blood family, whatever it's called.
Yeah, bloodline rules.
Bloodline rules, thank you. So by that point, you're just opening the doors for chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, and having that tag team match was a great way to keep the storyline going while keeping The Rock involved, because, I mean, it was definitely like The Rock was not going to step away from the match he wanted to do in at WrestleMania. So the fact that they got everyone involved in the way they did and the way that they evolved the story, that was some just great storytelling. Oh my gosh, and I actually forgot one of the most amazing parts of the finale to this match. This was just such great long-term storytelling, where during the match, when everything was getting all crazy and people were just jumping in, out of nowhere, suddenly the Shield theme goes, and you see Roman Reigns' face shocked. He's looking up, he's looking in the crowd like, oh crap, like who's going to come down? Is it going to be Dean Ambrose? Is it going to be Seth Rollins? And unfortunately, they botched it a little bit, because Seth Rollins jumps in the ring and gets kind of knocked out almost off screen.
Jeez.
It's like you just see it barely in the corner of the screen that I think it was Solo who hit him. And so I was like, oh, like, what the hell did they do that for? Why is he dressed in his Shield getup? Like, what's going on here? But at one point, I think it was Jimmy threw a chair in the ring. And suddenly Seth Rollins is crawling and Cody's crawling. And Roman picks up the chair. He's getting ready to hit Cody. And then all of a sudden he starts getting those flashbacks and he starts looking at Seth Rollins. And he's thinking, I remember when the shield broke up. That motherfucker hit me in the back with a chair.
Yep.
And he's looking back and forth between the two of them for a long time, trying to decide. And he turns and he goes to hit Seth. And while he's distracted, knocking Seth down, that's when Cody gets his chance to do a last-minute rally and hit his finisher. So it's like, wow, it was still the bitterness and the ego of Roman Reigns that undid him in the end. We couldn't get over Seth taking him down that one time.
The darn hubris.
Yeah.
Fitting. That's good storytelling right there. That's good writing.
Yeah. So what can I say? I'm very pleased. It was a great WrestleMania. I've been... Yeah, I'm once again having the infusion. You know, for a little while there, I was struggling to keep up just for time. But I finally caught up right before WrestleMania, and hopefully I don't get behind again, because, man, do I love pro wrestling, just like Michael Cole.
Yeah, it's something real special.
Yeah.
It's something unto its, like, nothing else can compare, really. It's just something unto itself. Even if I'm not watching it, it's like the, I don't know if I want to watch it now, because just the descriptions you're giving me, I think... supersede what actually happened, but even then it probably does hold up to the legends as you're saying it to me.
Oh, it does. I think it does. Because I couldn't do a play-by-play and describe the great facial expressions, the subtle, like, the tauntings of the crowd or the sudden rallies of the crowd. Like, Cody will just be getting destroyed and he'll be on the ground like, oh, limping. And suddenly everyone stands up and they're screaming for him, and it gives him the power to get back up on his feet. Like, that's something you gotta just be there and feel it with the audience. And that's another thing that's incredible about pro wrestling, that you don't get in almost any type of storytelling or that direct interaction with the audience. The whole universe of the audience is as much a part of the story. And you can't really get that with other mediums of storytelling. Like the fact that this whole tag team match with The Rock and Roman Reigns happened just because they were all pissed at The Rock, and every time The Rock would show up, they'd be saying, Rocky sucks, Rocky sucks. And so he starts calling them Cody crybabies, and that's what turns him heel and spirals into all this. It was supposed to be face Rock versus heel Roman Reigns. And then we got this incredible, maybe one of the best heel runs we've seen in the past, I don't know, 5-10 years from The Rock, just from that audience reaction. So,
and for, again, him to go along with it and not hopefully hurt his ego is saying a lot. We'll never probably see a cousin versus cousin match, but like, yeah, that was, yeah, that's something else. I gotta tip the hat to The Rock for allowing all that to happen, like, to him. And there's still going to be people who take it way over the, like, too much and like, take it to be real as, like, oh, I want to kill The Rock or something like that, which is, like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're just in the wrong. Like, you've taken this too far. Sometimes I can get annoyed by storylines when they draw things out. It's to a certain point, of course. But in the end, it's for a reason to hopefully make the heroes triumph, and that was... Cody Rhodes in this instant.
Yeah, so a lot to happen. I look forward to my next WrestleMania story time, I guess, for next year.
I mean, it could be, you know, I could ask you, hey, how's Raw or SmackDown doing? You'll be like, I don't have any notes. Or I could ask you, obviously, I love making it a yearly thing. It's like, you know, there's other, well, it's whatever pay-per-view he watches.
I will just say, just for Raw that happened last week, I didn't get to watch all of it, but I watched the first hour and a half. And incredibly, incredibly sad news for Rhea Ripley, who's been one of the MVPs of WWE for the past year. She's there every week. Sometimes her and Dominic Mysterio show up on NXT, so they'll do like 3 weeks or 3 shows a week. Like, it was clear that the WWE was using those two a lot. Whenever they needed to fill something, they would just throw them in. And she unfortunately got injured about 2 weeks ago, and so now she's going to be out for, they said, many months, and they made her vacate her title even.
Oh.
So that is, I mean, she's super young. She's one of the hottest things in the company right now. And to have that stalling in her career right here is just Hopefully it doesn't affect her too much when she comes back. But very unfortunate.
That's a shame. But I do wish her the best of health. And a earned recovery. How about that? Maybe not quick.
Yeah, that's fair.
But a recovery that feels earned and is not rushed.
Yeah, but I guess at the risk of going too much longer, I guess we should probably start to close it down around here. I don't know. I don't know what else to say except, if you've been tuned out of wrestling, if you used to like it as a kid and you've been curious to get back, there's really no better time. WWE is at the hottest it's been in a long, long time. The numbers that they're doing for ratings and for selling out pay-per-views. I think the most recent episode of Raw, they said that it was the 15th week consecutively that they'd sold out Raw every week. So, yeah, that's if you've been wanting for a chance to get in, get back to wrestling, jump in, because it's some great stuff going on.
By the way, for the parent company, whatever it was, TKO or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Boy, howdy, they struck gold this April. Because if I recall, that, that weekend, so 2 weeks ago, it was it was WrestleMania 40. The next weekend, it was UFC 300.
Oh, was that a pretty big show too?
That was a huge show. Like, that was, like, there was, like, I'll just mention it quickly, because like, I didn't watch it, but, like, I heard what happened, and the Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje fight was insane. For the Big Mother Effer title.
Oh.
Apparently was, like, people, it was not disappointing. Yeah, it's a real title. It did not disappoint.
Oh, cool.
Max Holloway knocked Justin Gaethje out within 1 second of the clock ending.
Oh, wow.
For the fifth round.
Oh, wow. That'd be crazy.
It was insane. And he was winning the entire match. He was going into the fifth round. Like, I don't know if it was all the way. I'm just going with, like, what I heard. He was, like, at least, but he was, like, on top of the match the whole way through. And, like, in the final 10 seconds, apparently, of the match, he calls, or 1 minute, whatever it was, 30 seconds, he points to the floor, like the center of the ring, and tells Justin to get over here. And they just turn off their brains and start swinging like madmen. They just start swinging until Max's fist connects with Justin's head and he goes down.
Damn.
It was like, apparently, next to, I suppose, Leon Edwards KOing Kamaru Usman with the head kick there in the last dying seconds of that fifth round championship win. This was also, like, people say, like, one of the greatest UFCs they've ever seen.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, highlight of the night for those guys. So, congratulations to TKO for, as Dana White later said that night, apparently, I sell holy SHIT moments.
Oh, no. That guy always sounds a little bit annoying, I gotta say. I mean, that's good promoter kind of talk, but
again, just like the soon-to-be or former or soon-to-be president of the United States, what can I say? They're all businessmen.
It's fair. That's fair.
Well, so they know how to sell and win the masses over with their words. So you gotta, as devious and schemy as they may seem, it's like, yeah, but they're good with words, so silver tongue foxes they are.
But no, that's good to hear for them. That nice round number, UFC 300 being a great one. That's always nice to see that kind of stuff. Same with this, WrestleMania 40. Another nice round number.
And of course, people who don't realize the logistics or at least anything about UFC, you're like, how the hey can they have 300 fight? Like, there's 300 like matches, or not 300 matches, sorry, but like 300 pay-per-views against WWE, who's been around longer. Look into your history.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you tallied up all the pay-per-views that they do, they'd probably be way higher, but it's, yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, they've been, I think they've done, like, that's WrestleMania 40.
Yeah.
Now, multiply every other WWE event they've had since the 80s.
Oh, yeah, that was another nice moment, I'll just say, with Stephanie McMahon's opening. she came out and she said, you know, I was here the first WrestleMania, and I've been here every WrestleMania since. You know, she said that she was a little girl then, and she was so proud to be able to participate in WrestleMania as a wrestler at one point, and now just to be here to announce that it's a new era, she said was really special for her. So that was a nice moment, too, just thinking about all that legacy.
I hope that she was at least able to stay face for that one.
Yeah, and her and Triple H have come out the face because... Actually, her and Shane McMahon, too. Because people have been wondering for a while, like, oh, at a certain point a few years ago, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Shane McMahon, all of them seem to have kind of big blowouts where they left WWE and nobody really knew why, but it was kind of like, what's going on? Like, why do these blowups keep happening? And with the stuff that has come out about Vince McMahon, they've kind of become faces in real life because it seems like maybe they knew what was going on and were just like, we are not going to be in the same company with that man anymore. Yeah, that maybe it would have been better if they went to the press and let people know, but who knows if they had gag orders, you know, NDAs. But, oh boy, yeah, some really ugly stuff going on with Vince McMahon.
That's a shame.
It turned out the character that he played, the fantastic, amazing heel that he was, turns out was him. I mean, that was very much his real life behind the scenes in a lot of ways. So,
is it art imitating life or life imitating art?
Yeah. Oof. But thank you, Isaac, for joining me for this WrestleMania talk. I hope you get something out of it, because I definitely was so moved watching this. I couldn't wait to talk about it. I've been thinking about it for ever since it ended, especially Michael Cole's impassioned moments at the end of that. He was the highlight of the night in that moment, how much he was just building up the beauty and the storytelling in pro wrestling. So...
thanks, Caleb, for giving a tale once again to this, what would be hard to explain to any non-fan and just any other viewer of what it is we just watched. What it is you just watched and what you have watched. I appreciate that this wrestling, this sport can still be taken seriously, and I do... still like it, even if I don't catch it as many times as you do. I still catch it and like it as much as I like UFC. I can like both, because why not? So till next time, maybe go and give a watch to the WWE. Until next time, peace.